Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have our Christmas special. We'll hear a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our show is on Christmas. We have Father Patrick joining us to give a reflection about this Christmas season. And we hope that it'll enable you to be a little more prayerful. All of us need to pray more and to enter into these Christmas mysteries with faith, hope, and love.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Father Patrick, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, Father.
You're our friary representative here to join us for our Christmas show. And I thought we'd begin talking about Advent. Advent's kind of a mysterious season. What's that about? I know, Brother John, you've got some thoughts about Advent.
Yeah, with Advent, there's an expectation with the coming of our Redeemer and Savior. I always kind of think about that and the ways that our Lord comes to us and has come to us. And really there's 3 ways that there was a historical coming where Jesus came as a man, a true God and true man, to really teach men a deeper level of God's love to save them. But really too, there's another coming that we often can miss. And that's, I think, our Lord's maybe spiritual or mystical coming to us in the Eucharist. And that as a Catholic, we have an opportunity to really enter into that mystery, to really deepen our relationship with Christ as he comes to us. Just as he came to those 2,000 years ago, we have that encounter, a physical encounter with our Lord that I think is often we can miss, that we should often meditate on. And then, of course, there's his glorious coming. Whenever we see at the end of time our Lord coming with the angels and saints to really pronounce judgment, because in the first coming, he came to us in humility. You know, he comes to us as a baby. He comes to us and really stripped of all that glory. You know, we see God in a way that we can understand at a very deeper level, I think a more intimate level. And so continuously, our Lord is always drawing us to himself. And I think that's something we always need to meditate on and think about.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about it later, but the creche that St. Francis set up, you just reminded me, he had a priest offer Mass, mm-hmm. you know, at that location to make that connection between his coming and the flesh and continued in the Eucharist that we have available to us. And, you know, this year, Advent's really one of my favorite seasons. It turns us to focus on the Lord. How do we celebrate Christmas if we don't have a desire for Jesus, mm-hmm. if we don't recognize our need for a Savior? Christmas just becomes commercialized, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
And that first Sunday of Advent this year really just took off for me. It was like, it was Isaiah 63, and it's like, you know, rend the heavens and come down, yeah. O Lord. You know, tear open the heavens and come down. Because we're like, you know, it's like we're wandering lost. You know, mm-hmm. you know, save us from this wandering. And it just speaks of a need for grace that, like, we're wandering without you. Because oftentimes, a lot of religions might present it as this big wandering search on our part for God, we find him. Mm-hmm. But for Christianity, he's tearing open the heavens, he's coming down, because we're completely lost in the mall here. Right? And to find us and give us grace. Right. The second reading for the first Sunday of Advent was 1 Corinthians about this grace that's given to us in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's... So Christmas, and it's reflected in our music, our liturgy, it's just the gift of Christmas. You know, on the natural level, a child is always experienced with wonder and gift, you know, as a gift and with gratitude. Because this is just something even beyond like the two parents know. You know, we just mm-hmm. didn't do this. This is more than just us coming together, yeah. right? And so that's at the heart of our faith. Eucharist, Thanksgiving, it's... that God's coming to us in this extraordinary way. And the Franciscans ran with this, didn't they?
They sure did. They sure did. You know, Father, you just mentioned, too, just the aspect of needing a Savior. And as you mentioned, that was a powerful reading on, mm-hmm. again, the first Sunday of Advent with Isaiah, because the people were greatly suffering. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that's what it takes, though. Like, the Lord permits great sufferings that we do cry out to him, Lord, come down, like, help me. Mm-hmm. And that is an attitude that it's a time that, you know, as you mentioning with Advent, that we reflect upon. It's very important that we realize that we need a Savior, because just the world that we live in, we live in a society, a culture of self-sufficiency. You know, I'm doing just fine on my own. But we just take that time to really reflect, like, yeah, we lived in a pretty messed up world. It's, right. you know, God created all creation good, but it's certainly affected by sin. And I need God's grace. I need God's mercy. I need a Savior. And so that's what we are preparing our hearts for throughout this time of preparation. And as you mentioned, it made me think of in seminary, you know, both Advent and Lent are just these intense periods of preparation. And I remember our rector at the seminary saying, you know, if the tougher the Lent, the more glorious the Easter. Well, similarly, you know, when we go into this time, Advent is a penitential season, mm-hmm. You know, and it's to help us to prepare for the glorious time of our Lord's birth and coming mm-hmm. to us. But when we take advantage of that, again, it just helps prepare us to receive the graces that the Lord wants to give us. And the fact that we have this throughout the church's calendar every year, we shouldn't approach it as like, oh, here we go again. It's going to be boring. I know everything. But that the Lord wants us to pick up new insights each year, because his mysteries are infinite. Right. There's so much that right. we can grab.
Yeah, in fact, the other night I was just meditating on the reading from Luke about the nativity. And just, you know, you imagine like the angels appear to them and tell them about the Savior that's been born. And mm-hmm. and go, you'll find him, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And in my prayer, I was just imagining that. Like, the shepherds were poor people. They were, in some ways, you know, they lived kind of on the outskirts, mm-hmm. and their testimony wasn't even valid in a court of law. So it's not the best witnesses in a worldly sense of the coming of the Savior. But these guys were poor, maybe, and had not much else going on. So they're locked in. I just imagine like these shepherds, kind of rough looking, coming in and beholding Mary, Joseph, and the child. You imagine the radiance from the child, you know, reflected off of Mary. Mm-hmm. And these guys, are all in. This is, I mean, they can appreciate it, because we live in the world of all this stuff and illusion. We can have this illusion of self-sufficiency. We can live in distraction. And, you know, they're coming in with nothing. So they're like more easily focused on this great gift.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that is a part of, you know, the more detached we are, the easier it is to be attached to the Lord,
right,
and to be
right.
more attentive to God's working, His presence
yeah.
throughout the day. And that's what you see, like you said, in those shepherds who just lived a very simple lifestyle.
Yeah.
They were attentive to what was going on. They were attentive to the message of the angels, and they went. Whereas, mm-hmm. again, as you mentioned, like the more we have, if we're just full of wealth and just consumption and that,
yeah.
we have really no desire. We lose
right.
our desire for prayer and the things of God the
yeah.
more that we have.
You know, would you run to the crib? Would you go?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that plays into
busy.
Exactly.
I got stuff going on here.
Exactly. And what you said before, too, again, I think that also you can play that into the need for a Savior. Again, if
yeah.
we're completely self-sufficient, we've got everything yeah. material we need. It's hard to get that sense that I need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, with the shepherds, they were attentive to the Word of God. You know, and often I think we can find ourselves inattentive
sure.
to the Word of God. But I think, too, again, with Advent, that's a great time of renewal, especially during the Christmas time. But really, again, I think making maybe that double effort or that renewal to really open ourselves up to the love and that message that God wants to pour forth into our hearts.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. How about the significance of the Word becoming flesh? You know, Jesus as an infant, you know, the Word becoming an infant for us. And Pope Benedict spoke so beautifully about this, that it's an invitation that God wants our love. Like, what's more non-threatening than a child?
That's right.
A child's completely defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a call on us to love the child, right? To protect the child, to hold the child. And Jesus, I think, is asking that's really what he wants at the end of the day, at the heart of it.
Yeah.
If we love him, we're going to do the good works. We're going to, you know, pursue his will. We're going to try to build the kingdom and all that. But first is love.
That's right. And you said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right. So
yeah.
first of the primacy is always love, just as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, if you think about it, because he could have easily come he could have appeared as a fully grown man, you know, but like you said, he came as a child. Completely dependent upon others too, you know, like you said, defenseless, dependent upon Our Lady. As you mentioned, like, how can you not love, a little infant, a child? And so he is constantly, and I love one of my favorite lines from the Catechism is that God never ceases to draw us to himself, you know, and we certainly see that in the mystery of Christmas, the incarnation, God coming to us as a child. It's just that invitation to draw closer to him, to love him. And we know at the end of our lives, that's what we're going to be judged first and foremost on, right, is our love
right.
for the Lord and neighbor. So it's just an invitation, a reminder that love is the primary, that's the primary call in our lives.
Yeah. I love the simplicity of those themes. And the Franciscans championed this, right? And
yes. Yes. So this year is the 800th anniversary of St. Francis and when he was inspired to start a nativity in Greccio, Italy. And in fact, it's the Holy See has been petitioned and has granted a plenary indulgence for the faithful if they pray before a nativity scene between December 8th and February 2nd of 2024.
At a Franciscan
church, that's
yeah,
correct. That's
yeah.
that's an important one. And so this goes back to 800 years ago, St. Francis was inspired. He wanted to make it real. He wanted the faithful, his friars, the faithful, to kind of get a sense of what it was like at the first Christmas, just like the discomfort, the suffering that was involved on a cold night without the luxuries, without the comforts of this world. And so he got a donkey, he got an ox, he got a manger and hay and all that. And then they had the midnight mass, and he was a deacon. So, he proclaimed the gospel and he preached. And there was an eyewitness that said the Christ child appeared in the manger, you know, during that mass.
And so, you know, we can look at that as Franciscans. We want to do everything we can to live the Holy Gospel. And because, you know, we like to see things, it helps us to relive what actually was taking place. That's why for us as Franciscans, the Nativity scene is so important. It's a reminder, helps us to enter into that mystery, that passage. And we also see the connection with the Eucharist, too, that just as God became flesh in the Incarnation, was born of the Virgin Mary at Mass, you know, God comes down from heaven in the Holy Eucharist. And we see that again connected at that miracle, that account at Greccio, the Nativity scene.
It happens in Mother Church, right? In a Catholic church.
That's right.
And Our Lady's present there at the first Christmas. And she is a type, an image, the realization of the church that he's coming to us through her. So she helps to foster this. You think about, like if you visit a family, a mother's holding their child, right? And she will maybe offer, you know, if you want to hold the child or whatever, she is there to help all this, to help us to have a relationship or to get to know the family, the child, and everything. So Our Lady does that same function and in a very, again, inviting way. It's not a big challenging way.
Yeah. And I always think too, going back to the child Jesus as an infant, you know, our Lord is always teaching us. You know, he's the role of the teacher, the master. But the fact that he does come to us as a baby, I think has great significance, again, because, again, as Father Patrick said, it's like just in our own life, we can think, you know, we're just so reliant, we hardly think of God or those maybe eternal truths of what we are made for. But really, in God's plan, in his eyes, we are so feeble, like we can do nothing of ourselves without his grace. I think that's a constant reminder too, that we are totally reliant on God and his grace. And just the fact that he comes to us and he's willing to just open the doors to heaven, you know, I think, at least for me, it's like, you know, a lot of times we can just fail to appreciate what God is really wanting us for us. But I think just that, trying to grow in humility and just recognizing those eternal truths, because it almost sounds like, well, it's too good to be real, you know? But no, it is real. It's a fact. It's a proclaimed fact.
But it is more than we can imagine.
It's more than we can imagine. Yeah, I think, again, with St. Paul, that no eye has seen or ear has heard, you know, the mysteries that, you know, go beyond what we understand.
And that's a good point, because we call these mysteries because it involves the divine. You got God acting in history. So it's not just a mystery like we solve, a whodunit mystery. This is a mystery because God is acting, he's infinite, he's eternal, and we're being called into participation in his life, and he's making a gift of himself. And so, you know, Christmas can be a time of great struggle for people. You might realize, you might have a vision of how you think Christmas should go. Maybe family's not there, maybe there's fractures in the family and everything. But this is a grace-filled season. And these themes we're talking about, God gives us grace to enter into them. You know, so this can be a real solution to our poverties. You know, like those shepherds came in poverty. We all have poverties that we can bring to the Lord and be filled. And we just have a couple minutes left. You had a powerful experience one time.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
I sure did. That's right. I had a powerful experience at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament as a college student. I had just finished my first semester of college, and my family was at the Midnight Mass. And it was in the midst of that Mass that I felt a strong pull in, toward the priesthood, and which led to my discernment here to enter religious life. But it was in the midst of the Christmas Mass, and it was the reverence of the Mass, just the beautiful singing, the reverence of the Mass. It truly lifted my mind and heart to God. All 2 hours. Father Anthony was a celebrant.
Two and a half hours.
He has the gift of preaching. but that just, you know, I'm very grateful for that. And it's something each Christmas for me, you know, when we have these big milestones that we can just reflect on them with gratitude, you know, to thank God. That's a gift that he gave us, the gift of himself. And it's something just for us to be grateful for, you know, to think in my case for Christmas, it's reflecting reflecting on the gift of my vocation, you know, that again, I realized that stirring in my heart was at that Christmas midnight mass. But just to be grateful that the Lord is constantly giving us different graces in addition to giving us himself at the mass. So yes, that was a huge thing. It would have been 23 years, yeah, Christmas of 2000. It's one of those things that you'll never forget.
So you know, before you attended that mass, mm-hmm. was the priesthood even on your mind or anything?
No, it wasn't. Yep, that's why I know it was the Lord, because going into that mass, priesthood was nowhere on my mind.
Yeah.
That's great. We got to wrap it up. Thanks, brothers, for these reflections. And we hope they bless you, those who are watching, that you may have a fruitful and holy Christmas. We all know Christmas is a very hectic time, and a lot of good things about it. Family comes together, you take time to want to buy a gift for somebody else. That's always beautiful. And also, if we could take time to pray and just meditate on Luke's gospel or Matthew's gospel, the nativity scenes, you know, just kind of place yourself, call the Holy Spirit upon yourself and place yourself in the scene and enter into that mystery.
I think, too, we can often forget that our Lord wants to bring peace into our lives. And like you said, our lives can be very hectic, especially during this time. Sometimes we're dealing with stress or disappointments, or sometimes we're away from family as well. And I think that's also a burden for a lot of people, those who are separated. But it's also a time to pray for those who are in need. But again, going back, our Lord wants to give us that peace, to lift our hearts and our minds to him and to those eternal truths.
You think of that first Christmas, you had the shepherds there, and they were kind of looked down upon in the mm-hmm. culture, society. I think it's a great practice in Christmas to try to invite others. You know, maybe it might be within your family, those who are more difficult, you know, to include them, to be inclusive and try to get together the best you can and celebrate it together. I think that involves a lot of virtue to be able to do that.
All the virtues.
And it's really living in love. And like we talked about in the show, how it can be a painful season sometimes for many people. They realize maybe their families are not where they want them to mm-hmm. be, and might be some hard feelings and stuff. But any kind of way you can bring them together is a beautiful way to celebrate, and it serves the kingdom. And I think it makes Jesus happy. So we'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you with his Christmas joy. May God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.